This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am so thrilled that you've joined me today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, I hope you're having a phenomenal day and that you're growing in God's grace. Today's going to be a very interactive program, so you're going to want to pull out your phone because you certainly are going to want to call in today. I want to start with talking about the best thing that I've heard over the past week. Now, you guys know that all month long we've been talking about our boys, rescuing our boys from the lies of the culture, and we've been talking about equipping you to be able to do that effectively, speaking to the hearts of parents and grandparents, saying there is a war, an all-out spiritual assault on the souls, the hearts, the minds of our sons. And man, this war is being played out right before our eyes. And to be honest with you, our adversary, the enemy, is putting a lot of points on the board, if you will. And if we're going to combat the lies that he's telling them about their identity, about their purpose, their significance, who they are, what is true, what's right, what's wrong, if we're going to combat these lies, we're going to have to do it together, and we're going to have to do it intentionally. I want my boys to be lie-proof. I want my sons to be lie fighters. I want my sons to be able to spot the lie. But who's responsible for making sure that our boys are equipped to be able to win the battle? Well, in a lot of ways, parents in general are the first line of defense for our boys. But in particular today, I want to talk about the role of fathers, because I do think that our culture, in its quest to combat toxic masculinity, has forgotten what healthy masculinity looks like. And in its quest to make sure that women are cared for and have voice and their rights are protected, have forgotten the importance of the role of men and fathers, to the point now where a lot of men don't know their place, don't know their value, their significance in this battle. And we need men to be men of God. We need men who are going to shepherd their families well, who are going to care for their wives well. They're going to model what it is to be a man of God who lives in covenant with his wife, who leads his family well. I'm not just talking about guys who go out and earn a paycheck and bring money back home. I'm talking about guys who know how to care for, model Christ-likeness, and lead well from a biblical perspective with compassion and with courage. Well, you know, it started today, this morning for me, with a conversation with my oldest son. I said to Cameron, my oldest son, hey, instead of us having our traditional Bible study this morning, I just want to ask a question. What's the number one thing you need from me as a dad? What's the number one thing you think that kids need from their dads? I want you to think about this for a moment. And so he's 13 years old, and he first responds with the shrug of shoulder and say, I don't know, Dad. But I kind of pushed back on it, and I said, no, I want to know. I sincerely want to know. What's the number one thing you need from me? And he says, well, I need you to love me, and I need you to take care of me. That's the number one thing I need. And I just kind of thought about that, and then I thought about the best thing I've heard all week. Now, I listen to a lot of things just like you, a lot of podcasts, read a lot of articles. But the best thing I've heard all week was a retirement speech. And it was a retirement speech given by an NFL player. His name is Jason Kelce. You may know Jason. He plays for the Philadelphia Eagles, or did play for the Philadelphia Eagles. He recently announced his retirement earlier this week. He's the older brother of Travis Kelce, who's also been famous for a number of reasons that I won't get into today, but he plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the older brother, Jason, announced his retirement. And in the midst of this 40-minute speech or letter that he read, which was so well written, I will tell you that a lot of people have commented that if Jason Kelce wanted to go into writing, he could do it. The way that he paints pictures with his words is extremely powerful. He's a very intelligent and gifted guy, not only on the football field, but in the way he articulates himself. But there was about 1 minute that caused me to break, and I think a lot of people listening to it broke down in tears. And that was when he talked about his father. That was when he talked about the value of a dad. Now, I want you to get ready to listen to this clip. We're going to play an excerpt from it. But then I want to come back. And the overall question I have for you today is, do our churches see dads the way Jason sees dads? Does our culture and our society center and value dads the way Jason centers and values his dad in his overall story? And if not, what do we need to do about it? I want you to listen to the best thing I've heard all week. This is from Jason Kelce.
I am a product of my upbringing. I think one of the best things a person can be in this world is a father. A father who is present, loving, devoted, just may be the greatest gift a child could ask for in our society. And I have a good one. My father believed in me more than anyone. He believed in my brother. And whenever my own insecurities would arise or self-doubt would come in, he would stifle them with the warm embrace of belief, unwavering love and belief. My father worked in the steel industry in Cleveland for the majority of his life. I remember him taking me into a plant one time and standing in awe of the molten steel and watching a giant ladle containing a bunch of it hover over our heads just feet away. The heat radiated when the molten steel was in sight. And I remember thinking how utterly amazing my father's work was. He was the man and continues to be the man and father I strive to be.
And you can listen to those words again and again and again, and I don't know how you listen to them without wanting to tear up. Here's a son, and a tough guy, if you will. He's not only a football player, he's a lineman, so he's in the trenches. But yet, here he is holding back tears as he talks about the role of his dad. And I just want to pull out a couple of lines here. He says, whenever my insecurities and my doubts would encroach, he, referring to his father, would stifle my doubts and insecurities with the warm embrace of belief. Think about that, that it was his dad looking him in the eye saying, I believe in you, that caused his insecurities to fade away, to melt away. When you think about that, you think about the power of the words of a father. Now, biblically, we know the power of the words of our Heavenly Father. Even at the baptism of Jesus, you hear heaven speak and you hear God the Father saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Dads, I want to just say to you that those words to our sons can make all the difference in the type of boys they turn out to be. And I know discipleship of your boys can feel daunting. It can feel overwhelming. But sometimes it boils down to the simple statement of, I believe in you, I love you, I am pleased with you, and I'm here for you. The other line that he said is that my dad has always been and still is the man. I love that. He said he was amazed by his father's work. You know, he looked at his dad, and it's not that his dad had some exciting high compensating job. He wasn't the CEO of the company, wasn't some famous entrepreneur, business person, musician, athlete. He worked in a manufacturing job and was working as part of the labor force of that, not even in the managerial class. And yet he was amazed at the work that his father did. And man, I think to moms, how important it is, in particular for boys, to be impressed and amazed with their dads. Now, you can't control when a dad doesn't do his job. But one of the things that I thank God that my mom did was she always elevated in my eyes my dad. She always elevated in my eyes my dad. And not that he was perfect. Not that my dad is perfect. But yet she elevated the way I saw him, always speaking of him in terms that elevated the way that I saw him. And I think about the power of that because in many ways, we as boys, we see ourselves in our fathers. Now, all of this has led me to the question, in particular, in light of what we're going after this month. These lies boys believe and how we can combat them. And again, I've told you all month long, I want you to join me on this epic quest for truth. I want you to join me, and I want to equip you to have the tools needed to combat the lies that your boys might believe. But I read an article by somebody that I follow on social media. I've interviewed him before. His name is Anthony Bradley. Anthony Bradley is a professor, but he's also probably got one of the best Twitter sites that I've seen. He's almost like a sociologist researcher. Every day there's articles and research, and a lot of his favorite topics, one of his favorite topics is on fatherhood. Got a ton of respect for Anthony Bradley. At times, he can challenge hard, but I think that he tries to back everything he does up with data. And he wrote an article not too long ago called Fathers First. It's time to center dad's role in faith transmission. Children need fathers, not youth ministry. Now, this was a challenging article. And one of the things he argues is that while much of the evangelical church has promoted discipleship of kids and faith transmission from one generation to the next of kids through children and youth ministry, what he's saying is that what we should have done and what we should do is invest less into youth ministry, having the biggest and best youth ministry, and invest more into dads. I'm just going to read a few lines from his article. He says, on December 15, 2023, I posted that I've come to reconsider conservative evangelical commitments to family. There's a wealth of data highlighting the centrality of fathers in faith persistence for children, leading me to no longer believe that evangelicals hold family in high regard because of their consistent unwillingness to center dads in the process of faith transmission. Now, I want you to think about those are hard-hitting words. Those are challenging words. If you're a youth pastor out there, I just want you to know we love you. But here's the deal. Is Anthony Bradley right? I want to see if he's right or if he's wrong. Here's what his premise is that most churches are not equipping men to disciple their families. They're not resourcing men. They're not training men on how to lead their families well. Here's my question for you, men. Is that true for your church or is that not true? In what ways has your church equipped you to be a phenomenal husband and father? That's the question. Phone number is 877-LIVE-675. I want to see if Anthony Bradley's sentiment holds. I want to see our churches doing this. I know my church, and there's some things that we need to improve on, certainly. I'm certainly convicted by his words, but I want to hear from the men that are out there in particular. And ladies, certainly, you can call in as well. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Best thing I heard all week was a retirement speech by now former NFL retired lineman, offensive lineman, Jason Kelce. And in that 40-minute press conference, man, the best line is this. One of the best things a person can be in this world is a father. He goes on to say, a father who is present, loving, and devoted just might be the greatest gift to the world. I think that he's right. I think that fathers who are engaged and devoted are awesome. Now, here's the problem. Here's the rub, is that Anthony Bradley, somebody that I respect, but is also unapologetically driven by the data that he's been researching for years, he's come to the conclusion that the church may give some lip service to dads, but they really don't believe the importance of dads. And it's evident, he says, because we don't equip them. We don't equip them to win as husbands and fathers. So here's my question to you. Is Anthony Bradley right? And I want to hear from men that are going to church, men that are involved in the church. I don't want to open up the phone lines for a lot of guys to call in who are just going to lob bombs at the church, but you're not involved. I want to hear from guys who are going to church, and here's my honest question. We don't have to bash the church, but let's be honest. Is the church equipping you or not? Is the church equipping you or not to win as a husband or as a father? And if they are equipping you, I want to hear how. How is the church equipping you to win as a husband or as a father? So I'm going to go to the phone lines. Acolo is listening in Florida. Thanks for calling. What's your comment?
Hey, Chris. I just want to say right off the bat, the answer is no. As far as my experience, where I used to go to church, it's not equipping men because they don't agree with the importance of men and what they were called to be. And because of that, it caused me to leave that particular church. But I spent the entire year of 2023 trying to influence change and bring to the understanding the importance of men and equipping us to do what God called us to do.
Yeah.
And I spent the entire year and nothing happened, nothing changed, so I left.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. I'm sorry to hear that. Before I let you run, Acolo, first let me just say thank you for your honesty. But if I could, in brief, ask you one follow-up question. What would you like the church to do? If you could have your way, what would be maybe the top thing you would want to see churches do?
We need to go back to the beginning. What did God intended when he originally created men? What was the intent? What was the command? What was the instruction he gave men to do? And once we evaluate that and understand men's position in comparison to women's position and how they work together, it can help a lot.
That's great. That's great. I appreciate you giving a call, Acolo. All right, so we got our first call in, and unfortunately, if you're keeping score at home, that means that there's one vote right now that the church is not equipping men to succeed as husbands and fathers well. Now, you may say, hey, that's one person's opinion. Well, that's why I've opened up the phone lines for many people to call in. So if you have an alternative or counter opinion or experience, I want to hear from you. 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. What do you say? Have our churches equipping men to win as husbands and fathers? Are we equipping men well to lead their families well? Because ultimately, we're accountable for that. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to be accountable. Listen to what the Bible says about a man who doesn't provide for his family. It says, a man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. I want you to think about that. That is about as harsh of a term as the Apostle Paul could use. An infidel, what we would call a heretic, but somebody who's a denier of the faith, somebody who's outside of faith. Paul says that a person who does not provide, a man who does not provide. Now, we typically think of that as just far as a material provision. I think Paul is speaking more broadly than that. I think that we're responsible as men to lead our families, spiritually, to model Christ before them. And not to do that means that we have not done, going back to Okolo's comment, what our original intent was, the original design. Before there was a nation of Israel, there was a family. Before there was the church, there was a family. God's original design was for men to lead their families. Genesis chapter 19, God says, I am calling Moses because he will teach my commandments to his children and his children's children. I'm sorry, calling Abraham because he will teach my commandments to his children and his children's children. The reason why God calls Abraham is because he will fulfill the family mission. So our church is doing a good job at that. And maybe you say yes. Want to hear from you. If so, how? Let's go to Green, who's listening in Chicago. Hey, Green, thank you so much for listening. What's your comment?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I thought I cut my radio off.
Okay. Yes, I can hear you well.
I believe the church, well, I don't know about, you know, when you make a general statement, is, you know,
sure.
The church is doing.
You can only speak for yourself.
My church, yes. And I think my father was my pastor, but the group of men that were around him, other pastors, and I being a PK child, I got to experience a lot of, you know, young men and that were in other churches that we fellowship with. And I agree with you totally. First of all, that parent ministry in a home and being the foundation of the family have to be healthy. And if the parents are not healthy, the children don't have a half a chance.
Yes, sir.
But I know in my life, my father was worked at Youngstown Sheet and Tool Company, still too, wasn't in management. And my grandfather, my great-grandfather, we still have that legacy. And God was the center of the teaching. And when yes. you follow Christ, as James said, you know, no, don't be just a hearer of the word. But so by my father living a godly life in front of me, I came through Chicago street gangs and everything else. My two brothers, both of them did Navy, and I'm in the ministry now. And God being in the middle of that household.
Yes.
And my four boys, my son is a deputy sheriff out in Los Angeles. Now, he's called me and said, Dad, I thought I didn't have everything that a child should have when I was growing up. But I repent now. I have the most beautiful parents in the world. Y'all gave me everything I need. As I talk
that's
to
great.
These people,
that's great.
As I talk to these people that's in lockup, I yeah. find out my house was rich with everything. Y'all gave me everything I need to be a man, to be a father. He got three kids, and it's just beautiful. And I told him,
I'll just say this, Green. Man. I'll just say this to you, brother. You may have said your dad was the preacher, but it's very clear that you got the gene because I'm ready for an altar call right now. You got me so fired up. I appreciate your call. And okay, so now we're keeping score at home. We got one that said, no, the church isn't doing it. Another who says, no, I did get it. And again, I know you may say this is personal experience, and some of it is, but I want to just kind of take this informal poll. And you're calling in at 877-LIVE-675 helps us to know what is the bigger, broader picture. And we're going to kind of conclude this matter after we've heard from more of you. But I love what Okolo said. He said the church needs to teach about God's intent for men. But what Green just said is that we need it modeled as well. Both teaching and modeling biblical manhood, Christ-centered manhood, is what the church needs. We want to help to pass on our faith to the next generation, protect them from the lies of the culture. Find out more at equipradio.org.
I am a product of my upbringing. I think one of the best things a person can be in this world is a father. A father who is present, loving, devoted just may be the greatest gift a child could ask for in our society.
That's Jason Kelce, his retirement interview and press conference. Best thing I heard all week long. He talked about, among many things, his love for his wife, love for his teammates. But then he says this line, one of the best things that a person can be in this world is a father. I think that's true. Dr. Anthony Bradley also wrote a great article that really gripped my heart on centering dads in ministry, that the evangelical church has abandoned the centering of dads and investing in husbands and fathers and exchange that for investment in youth ministries that often center around hype and entertainment. Now, again, I'm not here to bash either youth ministries in total or to bash women. This is not a negative day towards women. I think one of the sad things is that so often when we talk about the importance of men, we've been culturally conditioned to think that that somehow is a slight against women. No, I think that you can be an advocate for the agency and the voice of women and also appreciate them while at the same time saying, but fathers are centrally important to the faith transmission of our children. And I think that that's absolutely true. So here's the question of the day. Has the church equipped men? And I'll just ask you on a personal level, if you are a man, has the church equipped you to win as a husband and father? And if so, how? If so, how? And maybe your answer is no. Maybe your answer is yes. I'm not trying to influence your answer. I sincerely want to hear the answer to the question. We're going to go back to the phone lines in just a moment. But let me do more than just talk to talk. I want to walk to walk. I want to equip you with a resource that is blessing me in this season, and I really want it to bless you. It's called Lies Boys Believe, The Epic Quest for Truth by Aaron and Jason Davis. Aaron and Jason Davis, they are husband and wife that are raising five boys together. Had them on my program not too long ago. And I will tell you that this resource identifies 10 lies that our culture is telling our boys, and it helps parents to know how to combat them, how to have the conversations, and how to replace lies with truth. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a husband? What does it mean to be a father? It gets into all of that and much more. So I've been asking parents and grandparents to make this an investment. If you don't invest in any other resource this month, don't buy any other books this month. You have to. You need to buy this. I think the next generation depends on it. And I want to ask you to do something. And I shouldn't say a purchase, because really the way that we have this designed is an investment into this ministry, gift of any amount. We'll send it over to you. Now, there's two ways to look at that. You can say, well, I just want to give whatever the retail price is for that. You can certainly take that approach. But you can also say, I want to invest in ministries that believe in investing in men. And if that's the case, I would ask that you would consider being as generous as possible. Maybe a $25 gift, or maybe a $50 gift, or maybe a $100 gift. But what's most important to me is not just to talk about how men need to be resourced, but to actually get resources into your hands that can help you to win as a husband and a father and help the next generation to not become a casualty to these lies that they're hearing about identity, sexuality, purpose, truth, right, wrong, morality. I want my boys to be lie-proof. I want them to be able to spot the lie and fight the lie, and I want that for your boys as well. Here's the number to call to get the book, 888-644-4144. Call it right now, 888-644-4144. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, get the book, 888-644-4144, or go to our website, equippedradio.org. That's equippedradio.org, equippedradio.org. Get the book, Lies Boys Believe. It's actually a two-for-one deal because it comes with a parent guide as well all month long. Let's get in this battle for the souls of our children together. Let's go to Howard. He's listening in Illinois. Hey, Howard, thank you so much for calling. What's your comment, my friend?
Thank you for taking my call. I have a pastor, Pastor Zaki. I wanted to call in when you had Pastor Ibrahim on the line because he's from Egypt as well. His
wow.
father was a pastor, and his father was a missionary to the Sudan.
Okay.
He brings his family into the church, and he shows the example, through the example, as you were saying, he brings them into the church, and they help him in his ministry as well. We also have a men's group that's we're currently reading a book on how to love your adult child. We are greatly equipped in our church in matters of fatherhood and in matters of how a man should be in his family. So I think this is another vote for the yes.
Well, I love that. And again, it's a vote that gives us even another angle on this. Not only do we need teaching, so those of you who are pastors or leaders within the church, man, maybe you're hearing this. We need teaching on it. What is God's design and intent for men? But secondly, we need modeling. We need men that we can point to, that we can touch, that we can talk to, that we can actually see with our eyes that this is possible. What does Christ-centered manhood look like? What does it look like to love your family, be a covenant man, to have a great, joyful relationship with your kids? That needs to be modeled. But then we need a small group, and this is what Howard is saying. We need a small group to walk with. I love this. You know, I was raised with the thought that every man needs a Paul or Barnabas and a Timothy. And that was a model. That was a way of saying we need somebody who's going to be a Paul in our life, who's going to teach us. We need somebody who's going to be a Barnabas in our life, who's going to walk with us as a friend through this journey of life. And then we need somebody who's a Timothy, somebody we're teaching. And I love that kind of structure. And that's what Howard is saying to us. So I appreciate that, Howard. Thank you for giving us a call. All right. So, so far, 2-4, yes, the church is. Now, Mike from Detroit, he chimed in and said this. The church really has not. He says, I'm raising kids, and I want them to be in a church, too. Our kids love the Lord, but my wife stayed home. I encouraged her in this role. And he explains the hurt that has come from our culture around this as well. So Mike from Detroit is saying, no, I didn't get that support from my church. Now, let's just say, friends, that this plays out, this little small informal survey that I'm doing, let's just say it plays out consistently on a national level. If we were just to stop right here, and I am going to take another call, but if we were just to stop right here, we would have a picture of about 50% of the churches not doing it. That's a pretty significant percentage. And I just think that when we go back to how do we fulfill the Great Commission, my good friend Rob Reno from Visionary Family Ministry would say that, hey, the Great Commission has two pedals. It's like a bike. Yes, we got to have evangelism, outreaches, global missions. We need that pedal. But we also need the pedal of home-based discipleship. We need men who are equipped to win their home. And we've been trying to win a race with one pedal. We've been trying to save the world just by sending missionaries instead of training up dads who can train up sons, who can become fathers, who can then train their sons. And you remember the famous Frederick Douglass quote, that it is much harder to fix broken men than it is to raise healthy boys. That's why I want you to get this book, Lies Boys Believe. I want to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. You can find out more at our website, equipradio.org. Do it now. Get a resource to help you to win as a husband and as a father, to win your family. Let's go to Adam, who's listening in New York. Adam, I wanted to get you in before break. What's your comment, brother?
Well, we definitely lost our way somewhere in our culture, and we've been emasculated as men. But I tell you, I got together with a bunch of guys a long time ago, little church bunch of guys that went to church. We went to the home one night a week, and we went through one of John Eldridge's books, Wild at Heart. For some of us, that recharged us, reset us, and, you know, we recommitted ourselves. Jesus wasn't just this meek and mild guy. I mean, he was tough. He was stern. He was our king. And once you get your head wrapped around that, you become a man that you can lead your kids. And it might have been a little late in my walk, but and I don't read a lot of other books. I really just get my head around that Bible. I just love the Word of God. But, you know, sometimes I got something that I can offer to one of my friend's kids because he can identify it, and I can lead him out of a dark spot. And so I like that book because it got me thinking. You know, it got me thinking. We gotta be men. We gotta be tough guys.
Absolutely,
heroes. We gotta be heroes. We gotta be leaders.
And you know, the other thing about the John Eldridge stuff, and so many people have gone through the study Wild at Heart. So I highly recommend. But the other thing about it is that it's just a reminder that every man can do this, that it is possible. Though there's challenges don't make it easy, like the press of our culture. I love the fact that he invites us on this adventure to be men who are passionately pursuing Jesus and inviting our children to do the same, and painting Christianity as an adventure and not just a classroom. I think that if we just paint Christianity as a classroom, we turn a lot of men away, because there's a lot of men who feel like, you know, I didn't like school. I went to school only either because I had to or so I could be equipped to be able to do a job. But what I actually want to do is get my hands dirty, roll up my sleeves, actually do something. And I think that's what we need to be inviting men too. I love also that you say you're a small church, Adam, because I think one of the things that has negatively impacted the way churches approach this is church growth. And if you follow the traditional church growth models, then yeah, you're going to decenter men for a number of different reasons. But if you begin to measure your success by how many men are we engaging right now, I will tell you, you'll have a different type of church growth. You'll grow deep. Now, that to me is equally as important as growing wide. I am not anti-growing wide in number, but I am pro-growing deep in our roots and in our maturity. And so I want to encourage you to do so. One of the ways I want to encourage you is I want to get you a resource. Again, I said earlier, I don't want to just talk to talk. I want to walk to walk. I want to get you a resource into your hands. Now, you don't have to be a man to call and get this resource, but you do need to be a parent or a grandparent. It's Lies Boys Believe. It's a twin pack of books. We're going to also get you a parent guide. It's a wonderful creative story that exposes 10 lies that our boys are being told by their culture today and how we can combat it. I love that Bob has gotten his copy. Therese has gotten a copy. Luke has gotten a copy. Adrian has gotten a copy. It's awesome to see these guys checking in and saying, I want to help to win the next generation. I want to raise a generation of lie-proof boys who stand against the lies of culture. I want you to join us on this epic quest for truth. Your generous donation of any amount will enable us to send this resource to you. Go to our website right now, equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. Make an investment into a resource that can change your life. Or dial this number, 888-644-4144. As always, we're going to land this plane in the heart of the gospel. When we come back next up on Equip. Our sons need our guidance to grow into men who can recognize a lie, resist it, and replace it with truth. Lies Boys Believe is a graphic novel full of meaty Bible teaching designed to help boys identify lies and replace them with the truth of God's Word so that they can stand firm in a fractured world. I can send you this graphic novel and a parent's guide with a gift of any amount to Equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. It's great seeing you guys respond to our resource this month. Our team was talking about how great of a response we're seeing to the lies boys believe. And let me just say, today we're talking about men. Just about every week I have really gifted, articulate, awesome female leaders that join me on the program as well. So again, this isn't a slight against women. I'm grateful for ministries like Revive Our Heart that actually helped to produce the book that I'm talking about this month, Lies Boys Believe. But I also love men. I'm grateful for men. I praise God for fathers. And one of the great things in life is to be a man who knows who God is, who can model what God has called us to model. I want to answer a question. I don't have time to go to the phone line right now, but Ed, I love Ed's question from Muncie, Indiana. Ed, forgive me not being able to take your call on the air, but because of time, I want to just read your question. He said, the concept of being a man is blurry to me. Is it masculinity? Then he goes on to say, the core of being a good man is to be like Jesus, the true disciples of God. This may be missing from our churches today. Ed, I think you hit the nail on the head. What does it mean to be a man? It's not just bravado, but I think masculinity is a way of describing it. I do think that genetically, there are ways that men are wired different than women. It's more than just socialized. It's more than just socialization. We are different by design. But I think to be a man is to be a pastor, to be a priest, to be a provider, to be a protector, to be a prophet for your family. Those are the five roles that God has given us in society to model Jesus, to be Christ-like. But women are called to be Christ-like as well. But to model for the world the power of God. I think that women, in a powerful way, model for the world primarily the beauty of God. I think that men have the opportunity to step into chaos and to bring order, as God did over the face of the deep, Genesis 1, bringing order in chaos. Men, we're called to do that in our families, in our culture, in our society, in our churches, where there is confusion, where there is chaos. We step in, empowered by the Holy Spirit, with the presence of Jesus, and we bring order. And I'm praying that God will enable us to be able to do that in our families. Got a resource for you, Lies Boys Believe, the Epic Quest for Truth. You can get that by going to our website, equipradio.org. I want to close by giving you some things that Anthony Bradley has shared through his social media pages and articles and books that men can do that make a huge difference. Now, we often tell men, you need to disciple your children, and that can feel like an instruction to be a professor of theology. We also tell men you need to discipline your children. So you got a lot of men who are just very serious, instructional disciplinarians. Got to provide for your children, so you're working hard. But what we don't teach men as often is how to win the hearts of their children. So I'm going to give you three things. Number one, laugh with your kids. Kids, dads who play with their kids, laugh with their kids, it is statistically proven, are closer to their kids as their kids get older. When all you are to your kid is a paycheck and discipline, then when your kids get older, often they're more distant. But when they have memories, fond memories of fun things I did with dad, dad is funny, dad is humorous, dad laughs with me, that's great. Be affectionate with your kids. This whole thought of physical intimacy has been wrongly taught as a feminine thing. But even Jason Kelce, the strong, powerful football player, talked about the warm embrace of his father's belief in him. Embrace your kids, hug your kids, kiss your kids. Yes, even your boys. Do a project with your kids. Kids learn, in particular boys, learn doing. So yeah, there's time to sit down and instruct, but do a project with your kids and talk with your kids. Ask them, how you doing? What's your day been like? How are things going in your life? Just ask open-ended questions. I hope this has been helpful. I know your feedback has been awesome for me. And again, those who are keeping count at home, we got about 50% of churches that need to reevaluate priorities. And I hope that in the midst of measuring how many attended, in the midst of measuring who gave, I hope you're measuring how many men are we engaging, and are we equipping our men to win as husbands and fathers? And if that question's not being asked at your church, or maybe you're not sure, don't get angry about it. Don't have to be combative. Just ask the question and watch how God transforms the culture. If you want a resource of the month, go to our website, equipradio.org. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.